afternoon, Australia. Good evening, America. And welcome to everyone else across the planet. This is your next installment of Complete Feng Shui. And we have a phenomenal show for you today. But before I get you back, Michelle, here's what you need to know. If you're listening on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch or Twitter, we have the lovely Hannah ready and waiting to respond to your comments, questions and provide you with links to our downloadables, links to connect with Michelle and anything feng shui. A big shout out to everyone listening in Europe today. Lovely to have you aboard, and don't forget you can subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can catch up on every single one of Michelle's shows. Now, this is the fifth in our installment, and as I promised, it's going to be a great show. Before we get on with it, I want to do our welcome to country. So I want to respectfully acknowledge the people of the Yugambeh language region on the Gold Coast, Queensland, Australia, the traditional owners of the land on which we meet and broadcast, and pay my respects to the elders past and present and all the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples listening and watching here today. Now, Michelle is a feng shui master, an advanced teacher and scholar in metaphysics, majoring in Chinese astrology. And she has over 20 years experience in this multi-layered science practice. And she got into it many years ago after discovering the power of feng shui in her own life and home, and she has since studied extensively under other feng shui masters and lectures at Curtin University. Now, this show, we decided we were going to talk about feng shui, Chinese astrology, and the bedroom, and relationships. And it's going to be a great show for any of you who have any existing questions or thoughts around relationships and how to make your relationship better, how the bedroom interplays with that, and how feng shui and Chinese astrology can help in these areas. And a reminder too, that if you've got any questions or you want to discuss anything in particular, if you're interested in a personal consult with Michelle, just jump on michelle@completefengshui.com. If you're listening live, these links will be in the chat box. If you're watching this in replay, it'll be in the notes associated with this interview. But make sure you connect with Michelle. She has these decades of wisdom and knowledge in this specific area, and as a white female Western woman, she is one of few that practice in the mastery of complete feng shui. Now, Michelle, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask about the painting behind your head. Get that out of the way first and foremost. Just tell us a bit. We're going to be referring to it later, but yes. Just tell us a bit. It's a beautiful, sensual, black and white painting, isn't it?
It is. Yes, it is a beautiful, sensual, black and white painting. And bedroom feng shui is very much about having in your bedroom what you actually want out of your relationship. So a lot of feng shui is actually figuring out what your goals are. And I think because the bedroom is so important and your relationship luck is so important within your life overall, it is very important to have the representation of what your goal is within your relationship. And I think a lot of relationships flourish if there's a certain amount of passion within a relationship, which is often the area that we don't want to talk about. But I think sensuality and passion is very important to hold couples and their relationships together. So this image is really just an example of really, if you want to spice up your relationship luck, the type of image that you might want to display within your bedroom for your eyes only, obviously.
And so that leads us into the whole discussion of feng shui and relationships and balance. So feng shui has a fair bit to say about relationships and balance, doesn't it?
It does. In my experience over the time period that I've been doing feng shui, I actually really feel that the bedroom is one of the most important rooms within your home. Obviously, your entry points are your doors and your entry and your kitchen is often very important, but your bedroom really holds your relationship together. So if you don't have good bedroom feng shui, then it doesn't matter how much money you make, you're likely to lose it. And also, if you don't have bedroom feng shui from a health point of view as well, you will actually suffer. So then you're not able to flourish in everyday life. So the bedroom, you actually spend at least one third of your life in your bedroom. If you think about it,
I
you spend
know.
more time in your bedroom than actually any other room within the home, because most of us sleep anything
That's
from
where you
5 to 8
sleep.
hours. So that's a major chunk in every 24-hour cycle of the area that we're in one particular space.
And what, in terms of balance, what does that mean in terms of feng shui and the bedroom?
Well, balance is balance, really. It's a term that we do throw around loosely. Balance is all about having like the right types of color tones, the right types of symbolization. Often, particularly within a bedroom, we'll have things in pairs. So we're not talking about any particular gender or inclination towards relationship luck. This is across the board. So a relationship luck is between two people, and it's also between family. So you want things in pairs so that your relationship luck, and you want balance. So this is where we go, okay, let's have two bedside table lamps. If you only have one, it's kind of sending out that symbolization and energy that you're quite happy to be single and alone. So when we talk balance within a bedroom, it's really about pairing things and having things of equal value, which brings in balance.
When we're talking about the balance and pairs, that goes through all the furniture. Does that go through the placement of the furniture? Does that go through lamps? Does it go through painting?
Yeah,
So.
it's more. I think balance within a bedroom is obviously with feng shui, you want to be able to have flow. So you don't want anything too sharp, or you don't want a room that is overly cluttered. You don't want a room that isn't necessarily spacious as well. So energy needs to flow, it needs to not have obstacles. But if we're talking balance for a bedroom, a lot of it is symbolization. So you wouldn't necessarily have two chairs. Often within a bedroom, you may only have
Yes, I
one chair because it's
yeah.
more of a feature. But if you had like a love seat that sat two people, then that would bring in a lot
That's a
more
better
balance than
choice.
having, that is a better choice than having like one single bed. Also, the bedroom's very much about support. So when we look at even the types of bed frames that we have within a bedroom, so it's very important that your bed is actually supported. So often we would put the bed against a solid wall, because that if you don't have a headboard, you've then still got solid head support. One of the best styles of bed is actually the sleigh bed. So back in the day, the sleigh bed, that's your strongest form of support from a bed, because you've got a foot and a head, and both of them are actually solid. So it's actually a very solid, secure bed. So if you've got a solid, secure bed, and also you don't want any clutter underneath your bed. So those that have a lot of clutter and they have a lot of junk underneath their bed, that will actually bring clutter into the relationship. So you want that space to actually be clear so that your health, well-being, and relationship luck can actually flourish.
So what about your slippers?
Your slippers? Well, generally they come in pairs, don't they?
They do, but they sit under the edge of the bed
They do sit
usually.
under the bed, but that's okay. You do have two slippers, and generally they match. Most people have matching slippers, and not necessarily both parties will have slippers, but maybe so. But that's really taking it down to a fine detail, I think.
But what you're saying is try and keep the underneath of the bed clear. Best sort of bed is one with a footrest and a headrest.
Or also a solid headboard. You don't actually want the open headboard. So a few years ago, the fashion was very much the timber headboards. They were quite open and slatted. So open and slatted is actually it's like poison arrows. So that's not overly favourable. A solid headboard. So these days, a lot of the fashions are actually the padded headboards. Like they're opulent and luxurious and they're padded with fabric. So that goes back to that similar sleigh type of bed. So that's giving you a really nice, strong, supported headboard. So if you have a strong, supported headboard and you don't have a lot of clutter underneath your bed, then you have quite a stable bed. So even like the ensemble type of beds, they're actually quite stable. The Japanese, they have the mattresses and the futon beds, the really low beds. There's no clutter underneath those because they're so close to the ground. So it's all very much about stability, because you need stability within your energy for you to then have stability within your life, to then have stability within your relationships. It's very practical. Feng Shui is actually really quite, it's really quite practical if you think about it.
It is practical. I'm just thinking of, at the moment, right now, at this point in time, there's an ironing board in my bedroom. I'm thinking, might have to get rid of that.
Well, yes. You can look at that two ways. You could look at that as symbolization of laying things down, I suppose. You're laying things down. It depends where your mind wanders to with your symbolization. It's very open to interpretation, of course. That would also symbolize hard work.
Oh my goodness.
Think about it, so an ironing board, ironing's usually you think of ironing as hard work. It's like a chore. So you don't actually want hard work or a chore to be the symbolization of your relationship. Okay.
Yeah.
So what is displayed in your bedroom and how your bedroom feels comes down to the energy of your relationship. It's like the relationship is a chore. It's hard work. And we don't want relationships to be a chore. They shouldn't be hard work.
Yeah, definitely. I want to touch on something that we spoke about before and just touched on, and that was around the colours that interact with the energy in a bedroom. Let's talk about bedroom colours.
Okay, so bedroom colours, your best to have like neutral types of colours, skin tone types of colours. They're your safest, like your biscuit, your beige, your toffee colours. Because your bedroom, you need that grounding, you need that earth energy. So your earth and your grounded types of colours are actually the best in the bedroom. And anything that is kind of soft. So once again, it comes down to what you actually want in your relationship. So all your biscuit and your earth types of tones bring in grounding and they bring in security. If you've got a lot of green within your bedroom, so if you're going to bring in the wood tones, which are all your greens and your browns, well then your relationship's more like a little bit about growth. Wood is the element of growth. Metal, if we have a bedroom that's too metal colored and it actually has too much white in it, if I walk into a bedroom and it's really white and it's very clinical, generally it's a very clinical type of relationship. It'll be a relationship that has very little passion and very little emotion. So too white and clinical, that's what it actually brings in. So if you're wanting a little bit more passion within your bedroom and you're wanting to stir up that relationship up, that's when you're actually bringing in your red tones. So your red and your pink and your burgundy, all of those types of colours are passionate colours. So they will actually bring that passion, that fire into a relationship. The colour we normally steer clear of, though, is water. We really do not want too much water within a bedroom, not too much blue and not too much black. So like a lot of black is very, very heavy. It's very heavy within its nature. And because water represents emotions, too much water, so too much blue and black in a bedroom can actually cause financial losses, and it can also cause too many emotions within a relationship. So it's really a fine balance to get your colour right. But you need to look from feng shui eyes. So basically walk into your bedroom, have a look around your bedroom and go, how does this actually make me feel? because color has a very strong vibration. So getting your color right is actually very important, particularly for you.
So, Michelle, it might actually be okay to have white elements in a bedroom,
Yes.
but you
Warm it
need to
up.
balance that with the
You do.
colors of the sheets and the doonas, the
Yes.
paintings, the
Yes.
lamps, whatever else is in
That's
that
right. So,
room.
and this is where we kind of come back to balance.
Yeah.
So, we do say in most rooms that you want a balance of all the elements. Like you don't want too much of one element. Too much of one element will actually cause imbalance. So it is actually having that balance. And balance and color is generally brought in through the symbolization within a room. I tend to say with decorating, from a feng shui point of view, you are best to go with a like a neutral tone or a biscuit type of
And
tone,
then
something
you
that's a little
can,
bit warm, and then
yeah.
you can layer it. So then you can bring in your furniture, might be wood. You might have a plant in your bedroom. You might have some artwork that brings in some fire.
As long as it
Or
doesn't
you
have, it as long as it doesn't represent water
water.
or the
Yeah,
sea
you
or.
don't actually want any artwork that represents water. So no water and no artwork of water within a bedroom. And when we're talking about artwork, so artwork is very important because art has a very strong vibration to it, the same as color. And obviously, whenever you look at any piece of artwork, it will actually cause an emotion and a reaction to you. So it's very important that the artwork that you have in your bedroom, whatever artwork you have when you walk into your bedroom or above your bed, the first thing that you see, the artwork in your bedroom must represent what you want out of that relationship. So if you want like a really like romantic type of fun relationship, well then you've got all those beautiful images and pictures of like couples tangoing in Paris, like that's fun. If you want your relationship to be a little bit more hot and sexy and sensual, when then obviously you have the type of a romantic or a seductive black and white print like what's behind me. So the relationship, so your images and your artwork will represent your relationship. So like fruits very much about growth. You can have trees. So an images of trees or of mountains within your bedroom, that then that's going to bring in support. So if you've got an image of mountains and a sunrise, it's like every day is a new day, it's a new beginning, but you're beginning your day with support. You've got mountain support.
It's
Trees will represent growth. So but you don't have no water, and no images. Like there's an image that went around a few years ago, like the lady on the lake, and I walked into so many rooms where we had this beautiful image of a woman sitting all by herself, actually in a boat in the middle of a lake. So straight away I could look at that and go, okay, you're feeling really alone and you're feeling very unsupported within your relationship. Okay, so she's kind of set afloat, she's by herself, and she's unsupported. So this is where your artwork, it really does play a pivotal role
I'm
because it's
just
all about
thinking,
emotion.
I had a beautiful black and white print of a couple laying down in a lovely embrace, but surrounding them were 10 puppies with little red bows.
Right.
And
Well,
just made me think, I don't even know if I've still got that, but that's what used to, many moons ago, hang in my main bedroom, was this lovely, beautiful, sensual couple lying down embracing, but surrounded by puppies.
puppies are fine. Like puppies are like a gentle, like that's bringing in a very loving and supportive type of relationship. It was quite interesting. So when I teach retreats and when I'm teaching and lecturing with feng shui, I will often say to my ladies, okay, have a think. What is actually in your bedroom? Because your bedroom's really very representative. So for a lot of single women, or and men these days as well. So a lot of people, but I find a lot more with women, unfortunately, I'll walk into homes and women will have all these beautiful glamour photos of themselves that they've had taken.
So
So
a
they've got all
single
these,
person.
of a single person. So they've got all these single women images throughout their home, and particularly in their bedroom. And it's like, well, that straight away giving out the symbolization and the representation that you actually want to be single. You're happy to be by yourself and to be single. So it's very important with your artwork that it is actually more of a couple symbolization. And it's actually very, very easy to fall into the trap of having single things. So this is an example of how easy that actually is. A few years ago, when I was teaching a retreat, one of my girlfriends was actually on the retreat, and we were going around the room talking about what images we have in the bedroom. So I was giving an opinion on what everybody had in their bedroom. So, and at this point in time, all these years ago, I was single. I was in between relationships and marriages, and I was single. And when it came to me, my girlfriend turned around and said, "Okay, Michelle, so what do you have in your bedroom?" And all of a sudden, I had to think about it because it's very easy to practice, but you've got to practice what you preach after all. So I had to think about it, and I realized that within my bedroom, I actually had three Buddha paintings. And in my bedroom, each Buddha painting was a single Buddha. And so I was like, right, I've got three Buddha paintings within my home. And I realized that was very representative of my relationship luck. So within my life, I had three men within my life, and they were all actually filling a different need within my life. So instead of having one man, I had three, which so I was extremely lucky. One got to talk to me, one got to go out with me, etc. We then went shopping. So the rest of that trip was when we were then shopping and we were looking at homeware, it was to find a couple image for me. So I ended up buying a couple image, a beautiful painting of a couple, and I removed my three Buddhas and I put my couple painting into the bedroom. And from there, I was then actually
Things
able
got better.
to fine-tune my relationship luck. So instead of having the three men, I was able to find one man that fulfilled those three different needs. So it's
Fascinating.
very easy to not actually realize what you're actually doing yourself within your home.
Oh gosh, every time we do these shows, Michelle, I just learn so much more. I want to talk about the 24 mountain stars in Chinese astrology, the animal influence. Can you explain what that means? Because then I want to lead into a discussion about peach blossom luck, which I
Blossom
can't
luck.
wait to talk about. Yeah, so let's go back to the 24 mountain stars of Chinese astrology.
All right. So if we're you can look at the symbolization within your home. So what happens within your home and in your environment is obviously 33% of your luck. And then the next 33% of your luck, as we've discussed previously, is your Chinese astrology, which is in fact your date of birth. And your date of birth is made up of up to four Chinese astrology animals, one in your year, your month, your day, and your hour. Now, these Chinese astrology animals and elements, we actually class the Chinese astrology animals as mountain stars. And so from year to year, they actually have a different aspiration and they bring something different to your life. So they may bring wealth, they may bring harmony, they may bring education luck, or they may bring peach blossom luck, which your peach blossom luck is
I
actually your romance, your relationship luck. So when we look at these animals, every year and every
know,
month as such, a particular animal will have better peach blossom luck or better relationship luck than another animal. And we need these animals to actually line up for us to form really strong relationship luck. So often people that are single are out there and they're searching and they're looking for a relationship, but they don't realize that if their time's not actually right.
It's
So
not
we
going
can
to
put a lot
work.
in place for symbolization, but if our time and energy is not right, then it's very difficult to pull in the right relationship luck. And I kind of explain it with there's the difference between pull and play. So often we can play because we can bring in different people that we meet and we can have short term or short time relationships that we think are really, really good. But but they're really classed as a play. They're not necessarily a pull. And a pull mm-hmm. is when you meet the right person that is yeah. actually sticks and stays. And yes. so often that is what we class as our spousal luck. So because the remaining 34% of energy is free will, having this knowledge of feng shui and Chinese astrology enables us to then pull in and know when the time is actually right for us. So for this year, the rooster and the rabbit both have what we call the flower of romance. So if you are a rooster or a rabbit, the flower of romance means that you have that extra charisma. Now, a lot of movie stars have flower of romance. They have that sex appeal. They have that charisma. Yep. They you go, oh, aren't they beautiful? There's something about them that you can't quite pinpoint. It's an energy, and you're not sure why you're attracted to them. But it is often because they have either a lot of peach blossom within their own chart, and yes. peach blossom will actually show on somebody's face as well. So if we're looking at men, a man that has an awful lot of lines and creases, like laugh lines and creases underneath their eyes, is likely often to be quite unfaithful. So we don't want a man with a lot of creases because he has often a lot of peach blossom luck, so he's likely to be unfaithful. And we can also look at it like the shape and the state of a man's nose. So if this is going into face reading, which is another level of metaphysical studies, but also very interesting. So a fleshy nose means that the man will actually be a better provider. A fleshier nose within a man means he's likely to be much better in relationship. Like he's much more giving in a relationship than a man that has a very thin, pointy nose as such. And then when we look at women's lips, so you can look at a woman's lips and you can actually look at the cleft, the indentation here in your on a woman's mouth. And the Chinese mothers actually look at this as soon as they see a prospective bride, because if you don't have much indentation between your nose and your mouth, you don't have a very strong ability to bear children. So I've noticed a lot over the years, women that have had trouble conceiving, in fact, it is very flat. There's not a great deal of indentation. So looking at your face will actually very much determine your luck. But going back to flower of romance, because, you know me, I kind of get off the subject. I think of something else exciting to share.
I know. But it's great.
But so flower of romance is, it gives you that extra spark, it gives you that extra charisma, and it means that people are more attracted to you. So for this year, the rooster and the rabbit both have flower of romance. So if you're born in a rooster year or you're born in a rabbit year, that means that you're going to be more liked. People are going to see you and they're going to be drawn to you and they're wanting to actually be within your energy. So this is really good from a TikTok or a social media point of view. So if you're born in a rooster or a rabbit year, you have flower of romance. So it means people are going to like you. They're going to be drawn to you and they actually want to listen to you more. If you're born in the month of March, then you also have flower of romance in the rabbit month. And if you're born in the rooster month, is actually the month of September. And so the September is the month of the rooster. So in the month pillar, that means that flower of romance and that charisma is actually within you. So you're actually feeling it within yourself more so. So you're actually feeling a lot more confident within yourself. Yeah. And if it's born on your day pillar, if you're born on a rooster or a rabbit day, it means your spousal relationship's actually going to flourish, your home life and your spousal relationship's going to flourish. Because the rabbit has peach blossom luck, this actually triggers a pull-in factor. And a pull-in factor for this year to find spousal luck is actually the tiger seeing the dog. So tiger and dog and horse are three animals that are likely to pull in. So when we say pull in, it means this year's a tiger year. So all we need is a dog day, hour or month, and a horse day, hour or month. And when those three animals actually combine, that is when you pull in your relationship luck. That's when you actually pull in a spouse, because two or three animals have to appear in line within your chart for you to actually meet the right person.
So if someone had a consultation with you, and they were single,
Yes.
You could actually say, this is the best time of the year on this day, in this month, in this year, for you to have relationship luck.
That's right. And this is what we usually look for when we're looking in a chart. So, and it's really good for people to understand this, because a lot of times relationships really shape our life, and they shape how we feel about ourselves. And this is where feng shui, Chinese astrology, bedroom feng shui is so important, because we're very emotional beings. And if we have that understanding that the timing's not actually quite right, it's not the right time for us to meet the right person, we can then get on with our life. We can go, okay, that's all right. Well, I'm just going to play for a while, or I'm not going to concentrate on that. And if we're aware that now is the time to meet the right person, that is when we act on it. So this is all about our actions and our goals. So if it is the right time, we make sure that we go out there. This is when you put yourself on a dating site, or you make sure you go to the pub on that day, or you go,
or
to
go on a cruise,
or go on a cruise,
or a holiday,
so
or something.
You actually act on it. You actually act on it. There's no point sitting at home and waiting for Prince Charming to arrive. Like they
no,
need to do.
Not going to.
You kind of have to go out there. So you have to act on it. So other than tweaking your feng shui and putting some symbolization in place within your home, you can actually act on it if you understand the timing within your chart.
Phenomenal, phenomenal. I still can't get over it. I love peach blossom luck. It just sounds delicious, doesn't it?
It does. Like
peach
blossom.
It sounds beautiful.
It does, yes. So somebody like Jennifer Lopez has, like she's had Elizabeth Taylor. They're really good examples. George Clooney. Like they're people that have really, really strong peach blossom luck. Interestingly enough, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are both rabbits. So that's why when they met, they had that instant pulling, because they also had the synchronicity. So when we look at people's charts, we're also looking for common animals, because if you have the same animals within your chart, that will actually also dictate how your relationship will actually play out. So if you have your spouse's animal on your day pillar as such, it means that it's a very balanced, it's a very equal relationship. If you have your spouse's animal in your hour pillar, that means you actually wear the pants. You have the control of the relationship. Okay. If your spouse's animal is in your month pillar, the month that you were born, well, that means it's like a soulmate connection. It's like it's meant to be. And if you're both of the same animal of the same year, and the animal is the same, you have that synchronicity. You have that, those so many similarities.
So that Brad and Angelina, that
they had no, they had no hope, they had no chance, because they were both rabbits. So and the timing and the date wise, it actually drew them together, it pulled them together. But then their relationship fell apart when they came back to America, because if you actually look at Brad and Angelina's chart, their 12-year time period had actually finished. So the luck pillar that they met on actually concluded. But when they also came back, the properties that they bought were missing northwest and southwest sectors. Now, when we look at
southwest
a home,
sectors
southwest
really
and
important.
Northwest, because the northwest relates to the patriarch, the man of the house. So if you have a missing northwest sector within your home, that means you're likely to not have a lot of man patriarch support. So the man's likely to go away a great deal. If you have a southwest sector missing, the southwest sector within all homes governs relationship luck, and it governs relationship luck. It governs women's luck as well, as the pocket of the matriarch and the woman of the house. So remove the southwest sector, and it means you are lacking in relationship luck. So while they were overseas, their relationship luck could be held together. But if you look at their home in America, there was renovations on the northwest and the southwest, because they'd actually bought adjoining properties, and there was crumbled and derelict buildings that they were in the process of renovating. But they also had a northwest and a southwest sector missing. So it meant their luck was all of a sudden pulled apart. It was no longer in alignment. So the relationship then imploded.
Oh, no. Now you've got me thinking of all sorts of other famous couples and wondering what is in store for them, because it should be predictable according to feng shui what's going to happen.
Yeah, it is. It is predictable. Obviously, we don't look for bad things within charts. Generally, we're trying to sell hope, and you're trying to help people. But by looking at somebody's home and looking at the energy that's sitting in their home, whether they've got missing sectors or not within their home, will dictate the luck for the relationship. And then also, if you layer that with their chart as well, you've then got
It's
it's a little bit
very
like a crystal
clear.
ball. You have a very clear image and view on how the relationship luck is actually going to perform.
Oh my goodness. So and this could be of any couple, famous or not, is
Any couple.
doable using feng shui and
Feng Shui,
Chinese.
yeah, Chinese astrology is very, very telling where relationships lucks are concerned. So a lot of couples, I'll have a lot of women or a lot of men will come to me with their chart and I'll go, oh, I've met this man and it's amazing and it's great. So they may have met in the month that has actually pulled that relationship together. It's been that pulling factor. And I go, oh yeah, that's really good. And they go, oh well, I think we're going to live happily ever after. And I go, okay, let's see in 6 months' time. So because I can't actually see any similarity within the charts, or I can see certain aspects within the chart that are going to upset them within time, which means that they'll actually fall apart. So a lot of relationships initially are of physical attraction, of course. We're pulled together. But then when day-to-day life actually kicks in, then you need the synchronicity and the common attributes within a chart, which is no different to, I suppose, values and goals of what you want out of life. So you need that within the chart for the relationship to actually flourish and grow.
And Michelle, in terms of you can probably read whether those couples are going to stay together long term or short term or whatever it is based on the feng
The
shui
relationship.
and Chinese
Well, yeah,
astrology.
based on very much luck pillars. So, a luck pillar is your time period. So, in Chinese astrology, we have like the four pillars. We have the natal part of your chart, which gives the pull in, the connection, your aspects, your characteristics, and your traits. Then we have what is called luck pillars, and a luck pillar is a 10-year time period within each individual's life. But everybody's luck pillars actually start at different times. So mine starts at 3, so my luck pillar changes like 3, 13, 23. Yours might start at 9, so your luck changes at 9, 19, 29. So we can look at individuals' charts and line up their luck pillars. And the luck pillar is actually the time dimensional aspect of when something will happen. That is the time when we have fate, we pull in a relationship luck, or we have children, or we have good health. So a luck pillar will very much dictate also how the relationship's going to pan out, whether it will survive, and also from a monetary point of view as well. Like, are you going to lose money? We have a mountain star called Rob Wealth. Now, if a man has Rob Wealth into his chart, it means that he's going to be taken for a ride by the opposite sex. He will lose his money. A woman will leave him and she will actually take his money. So this type of information can actually safeguard your relationships as such. You can know, or I had a client recently and his luck pillar for the last 10 years changes this July when his birthday changes. So I knew for the last 10 years he would have had huge financial losses. So my advice was take your losses before July. Because when your luck pillar changes in July, you want to have taken all your losses. You want to make sure your divorce is settled, your financials are actually settled. You don't want to bring that into the next luck pillar. So it's often very, very clear because it's very analytical. It's just there.
And that's why you love it so much, because it is analytical and you
Yes,
can
it is.
accurately predict things, make suggestions, and talk people through different elements of their life, and in particular the whole relationship thing, which governs most of our lives,
It
a
does.
lot, doesn't it?
It truly does. And this is why bedroom feng shui and relationship feng shui is so important, because
Oh,
if it's not
gosh.
right, if I can't get a bedroom right in somebody's home, I've got no hope. There's
Hope of.
no hope of feng shui in the rest, because if the relationship falls apart, then from a health point of view, you don't have the energy to work. You don't have your longevity. You don't have the energy to put into your relationship. So from a health point of view, a master bedroom has to be, it has to be stable, it has to be balanced, it has to be strong. From an emotional point of view, the relationship has to be strong. Soon as there's not that intimate connection and that intimacy between a couple, this is when you have all the niggles, you have all the arguments, you have all the issues. And once those things start to erode from a day-to-day point of view, it's very hard to bring it back. So bedroom feng shui is major for people's health and well-being.
I was going to ask you a question about the Bagua school of feng shui in terms of it has a tool for analysis of the energy in any given space. Can you talk me through that lovely tool? Because we've got it on a handout that we've got for people to access today.
So
I thought we would...
Do it. Okay, so Bagua or Pakua feng shui is a stagnant form of feng shui. It's non-time dimensional, which means the directions are always the same and the aspects and characteristics from a Bagua point of view are always the same. So the southwest pocket of the Bagua is mainly what we're talking about from a relationship point of view. So the southwest direction of the Bagua, which relates to the southwest pocket and direction within every home, every state, wherever you are. But if we talk about your home and building for now or your apartment, so if you can locate the southwest pocket of your home, apartment, or right down to your bedroom or your living space, the southwest pocket is the woman's pocket, and it is also the relationship pocket, which is all about your love and your relationship luck. So we can use the Bagua and you say we're going to use the southwest pocket to place our symbolization to actually strengthen that relationship luck. So what the Bagua does is, because each direction relates to a different aspect, we're going to enhance that aspect within that sector. So the southwest is very easy to enhance. It is actually of the earth nature. So one of the simplest things to place in the southwest is you can place some crystals. So like the rose quartz crystal. Rose quartz always about divine love, unconditional love. So your relationship luck is often about, oh, there we go, that kind of rose quartz crystal.
That's a heart-shaped rose quartz
crystal. It's a heart shaped. It looks like it's sort of a little bit, it's kind of dented. There might have been some turmoil there. Have you noticed that? Have you thought of that?
Yes.
Okay, so when we
that's
actually
just occurred
that,
to
so
me.
A, yeah, so from a symbolization point of view, so that's not a complete heart.
It's
so that
heart's
had some knocks and dents.
Yeah. Okay. How? That's amazing.
This is where your symbolization, as soon as you start looking at things, it's like, okay, yeah, you've got a heart and it's solid, but there's been some hurt along the way.
No, there's yes.
So to complete your heart, so for your self-love and for you, because obviously your love and relationship like definitely starts with yourself.
Yeah.
You want a nice solid. So you need a new rose quartz heart. More solid and more shiny and lush and round, I suppose, and smooth, because then it's like it's a smooth heart. It's not a rugged heart. That's a little bit of a rugged heart.
It is.
A heart of knocks.
Okay. Yes.
So when I say things like that, that one's nice and smooth. Yeah, that's the amethyst. So often we say we place the amethyst underneath the bed. They do say there is the symbolization of the amethyst. You place the amethyst under the bed and you tie a red ribbon or a red piece of string around the amethyst, and it is said to hold your relationship firm, and it stops the male from straying. So it brings in fidelity into the relationship. That's what the amethyst is often used for underneath the bed. But going back to the southwest, so the southwest is one of the pockets that you can actually use crystal energy. It's one of the few pockets that is safe to put your.
I was just going to say you can't use crystal in
crystals everywhere. No.
Yeah.
But the southwest is safe. So this is where you can have your rose quartz and you can have your crystal collection, because that is actually the earth energy. You can also place a lamp as such. So you can put not a salt lamp, but
Just gonna ask that.
A normal lamp, like a normal dining room or lounge room lamp, can actually, a lamp standing in the corner of the southwest pocket of your living room or within your bedroom. Now, this is particularly if you are single. If you are not single, you don't necessarily want to use one single red lamp in the southwest corner. Okay. So what we want to do is we actually want to stimulate and turn on the energy within the southwest corner of your bedroom or in your living room and home. And by doing that, we can place a metal wind chime, but you would then have to knock it and move it, or you can place a lamp. And every night as the sun goes down, you turn your lamp on in the southwest corner. And it is said it's a little bit like turning on the red light, I suppose, turning on a lamp. Red lamp's preferable. It's kind of sending out the energy and symbolization to the universe.
But you are open to love.
You're open to relationship luck. So it's like, okay, I'm open to relationship luck. Come and find me. So you can place a lamp in the southwest corner of your home. Make sure that corner of your home is not missing. If it is missing, you want to square off the corner with a large pole or some pot plants or some furniture. So if it is missing, or with a wall or a garden bed. So sometimes if it's an al fresco area or an outdoor area, it is very easy to then square it off. If it isn't, if it's an actual missing sector within your home, you do want to build like a wall or a courtyard, or you would want to have like a rockery or a mound. Some plants to actually corner it off and to actually secure that southwest corner. Also, you can use pears in the southwest. So any pears or symbolization can be placed in the southwest, because, of course,
so we're two plants.
So two plants, you can have two plants, yes, or you can use any couple symbolization. So generally we use like mandarin ducks. So the Chinese use mandarin ducks. Mandarin ducks mate for life. So with your mandarin ducks, you place your two ducks in the southwest corner, but make sure they're actually kissing, because what you can do with this type of symbolization is you can actually pull in a relationship, but you can also destroy a relationship. So I remember years ago, my daughter decided that she didn't like my partner and boyfriend at the time. And all of a sudden I'd realized that all my mandarin ducks in the house had been turned around. So instead of them kissing and facing each other, they actually had their tails to each other. And I'd have these disruptions and arguments, and my emotional and mental state wouldn't be quite as balanced. And I'd realized that my ducks were in opposite directions.
They all of a sudden were in a row.
They weren't in a row, and they weren't going in the same direction, and they were no longer kissing. So make sure your ducks are actually kissing. Kissing mandarin ducks. So you make sure that they're at least kissing and facing each other, or at least facing the same direction, because if you have any couple symbolization and you've got your back to each other, that is really what is happening within your relationship. It's so important that you are in alignment and that you are actually going in the same direction. So the Chinese, we use the mandarin ducks. You in everyday life, there's you can actually use symbolization and feng shui your house without a Chinese feng shui product if you really want to. Here's what you've actually got within your home. So if you're the type of person.
Teddy bears?
Teddy bears? Yeah, you can use teddy bears. You can use two teddy bears kissing, two teddy bears facing each other and hugging. You can use pictures and images. So you could use in a photo frame a really nice picture on your wedding day or on a holiday of when you were really together and you were really happy and like you're embraced and you're looking at each other. You can use all sorts of figurines. There's lots of couple figurines that you can actually buy in the homeware stores. You can use ducks, you can use pigs, you can really use you could use two horses if you wanted to. As long as the symbolization is of pairs and they're actually facing the same direction.
So the pairs thing is really important in terms of feng shui, Chinese astrology, and relationships.
Luck, yes, yes. Okay. Because if it's single, then you're single. It's by yourself. You're having to deal emotionally, financially. You're seen to be unsupported. So
I need another amethyst duck then.
Another amethyst dark. Yes. So it's like you're single and you're unsupported. You're having to do a lot by yourself. You may have a partner there. He may be there. He may be very nice and very kind, but you're still feeling that you're having to do a lot by yourself. Now, the northwest sector from the Bagua is actually the patriarch sector. So it is actually the man luck sector. So the northwest always relates to patriarch luck and male luck. So the same, if you have a northwest sector missing, it means the man of the house will actually leave. He won't permanently be around and he won't be there all the time. So, and the northwest is actually a metal sector. So in the northwest, you can use metal sculptures, you can use anything to do with metal in the northwest. You could actually place some earth in the northwest as well, because earth gives life to metal. So that will actually strengthen it as well. So the same, it's very similar to your rules with the southwest, but you're making sure that you enhance your northwest sector. For within your home. And they're the major things in Bagua. You can use Bagua also for the west sector of your home. So the west sector of your home is actually all about your long-term descendant luck. So it's about your ability to maintain that relationship as a family, and for children, creativity and descendant luck. So the west wall within the home, from a Bagua point of view, the west wall is actually the wall that you would place all your family photos. So this is where all your family photos go, not in your bedroom, okay? A lot of people, a lot of young couples will actually place pictures of their children in the bedroom.
In the bedroom.
The bedroom's all about your relationship. It's about couples. So it's actually about the two of you. And I notice it a lot with young marriages. People get married and they're ecstatically and the happy. All of a sudden they have a child and the dynamics of the relationship totally changes. But the child is actually brought into the bedroom as such. So all of a sudden we find either the baby's in the cot or in the bassinet within the bedroom, or if not, the bedroom's littered with photos of children. And all of a sudden I have these women going, oh, our relationship's just not the same. Or the husband saying, there's no room for me. Okay. So it's like that the child comes in between the relationship. So for children to have balanced, happy parents, the parents have to make sure that they work on their feng shui and their actual relationship, which means no photos of children in the bedroom. The area for your children photos is actually the west, because the west is about your long-term descendant luck.
Wow, wow, oh my goodness, we are just about out of time. And I had some more questions, but that's okay. Michelle's done an amazing cheat sheet and relationship PDF, which are available on the website. And if you can't access them, just send Michelle or I a message and we will make sure that we get them to you. I had some more questions around mirrors and lamps within the bedroom, but we will save them over for another time. I wanted to make sure that the audience know that Michelle's prepared these great little one-page cheat sheets about relationship and relationship luck, because that's what we wanted to talk about today. And as Michelle said, relationships form such a huge part of our human experience, followed by the fact that we spend so much of our time in our bedroom. We kind of want to get it right, don't we, Michelle? So
definitely.
Is that one of the key areas that you focus on? It sounds like a lot of that, people have lots of questions.
I think so. Like, to me, relationship luck has been a major part of my journey. Like, I got into feng shui because of one failed marriage, and moving into my second marriage, I wanted to make sure that I actually got it right. So I started the feng shui journey trying to get my family my relationship luck right. So I'm quite passionate about relationship luck from a feng shui point of view, because I really do believe it is one of the main pieces to have favorable feng shui. It's very important. It's the human side. I think it's very much the human side of feng shui. Your emotions and your relationship.
Because we've spent a lot of time talking about, you know, houses and rooms and all the rest of it, and it's very eye-opening that you can actually apply it to something that is as important as your relationship and your life relationship.
Yes, yes.
Fantastic.
And as I said, and that's where you bring in your feng shui and your symbolization. There's so much symbolization,
yes.
and simply looking through feng shui eyes and looking at your home differently, you can look at anything and go, oh, okay, that's going to enhance it. I had one lady once that I was dealing with her and her relationship, like with her husband, and she called me in and we were doing the feng shui in the bedroom, and a few weeks later she called me back and she said, oh, I've just bought this beautiful tapestry. Can you come in as you're going past and have a look at what I've hung above the bed? Is this suitable? And I'm like, okay. So I actually did. And when I arrived, she'd bought this beautiful tapestry. It was very beautiful, but it was of a man with three or four beautiful nymphs hanging off him.
And she'd
hung it right above her bed in a bedroom. So it was the first thing that you saw when you walked in. And I had to say, well, yeah, you're right. It is a really beautiful tapestry if you're willing to share your husband, because you've actually invited other women into your bed and into your bedroom as such. So, and she's like, oh my God, I didn't think of that. That's not something. So it's so much about feng shui and symbolization is practical. It's simple, but it's a lot about things that people don't actually think about. They don't put two and two together.
I was just going to say, so that tapestry could actually go somewhere else in the house, just not the bedroom.
Well, yes, if your husband's in business and he needs a lot of women support, and that's going to account for his business luck, maybe. I don't know that type of tapestry.
It's not something that I would
kind of like if a man's single. So if it was a single man, I don't think it's kind of it's the type of artwork that a woman is actually drawn to without actually realizing the repercussions of it. So that type of artwork would be fantastic for a man that was single, okay, and wanted to open up his choices and his opportunity to actually meet the woman, the love of his life as such, or favorable relationships, or it was a single man that wanted to have multiple relationships. He didn't want to tie himself down. So the symbolization of that type of artwork is perfect for that
in
situation.
That scenario.
But
then once he found that perfect person,
then he would need
tapestry's
got to go. There's no room for that tapestry unless he's going to continue conducting himself that way within his relationships, which means he'll find he won't then have a stable relationship. So artwork is very important from a feng shui point of view. Artwork is very strong, like colour. It holds a very, very strong vibration. And also from an artwork point of view, you have to look at the artist that has actually created the artwork as well, because often their energy footprint will actually be attached.
Goes into that,
A very good artist is the Gustav Klimt paintings and artwork, because they have the paintings, The Kiss, and it's fulfilment, and they're all about connection and passion.
Yeah.
So I think that's often quite a good, safe choice.
Oh, amazing. Michelle, we are completely out of time. What a fascinating conversation. I'm sure everyone in the audience enjoyed it today. Thank you so much. We will be back in a fortnight with another complete feng shui show for everyone. Please jump on Connect with Michelle via socials, via the Complete Feng Shui website, downloadables via tonylontis.com, look under resources, and we will be back next week with another conversation around feng shui and Chinese astrology. Michelle Castle, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been an
Bye.
Awesome show. I can't wait for the next fortnight. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye-bye.